Luke chapter 12 and verse number 15. The Bible says here in verse 15, we'll read just the one verse to begin with, and then we're going to turn over to Ephesians. But here in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, the Bible says this, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth." You know, life is really not about things. Life is really not about possessions and money and wealth and, you know, toys and cars and houses, and all of those things are temporal as well. Life is not about things. Life is about people. Life is about relationships. You know, it's far more important that we give attention to our relationships than it is that we give attention to our houses. I think if you have a home or if you have an apartment, I think you should make some effort to care for it. We should try to maintain it best we can, and so on. If we don't know how to do it, maybe try to get people to help us. You know, sometimes we have to do that. But obviously those things need to be cared for to some extent. And we do need to care for our possessions and things. But you know what's the most important thing that you care for in life is it's your relationships. Your relationships. Your relationship with God. Your relationship with family. Your relationship with your church family. Life is relationships. Life is not about things. Life is not about possessions. Life is about relationships. It's about people. And not just, you know, people in general, but those specific relationships that God has ordained and established. And today I want to look with you at some of those relationships. Talk to you for a few moments. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5. In the New Testament, Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians 5. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. I'd ask you to use it now in our hearts to convict us, to help us. May your spirit speak to our spirit today and change us. May you convict our heart today, Lord, and change us. Help us to give focus to those people that really matter. It's not just things that matter, Lord. It's people that matter. It's relationships that matter. It's our relationship with you that matters. And help us to give attention to the people in our life, to the relationships in our life, to the God of our life. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Our life is made up of many unique relationships. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. Ephesians 5, and look there beginning in verse number 18. Ephesians 5 and verse number 18 says this. And these first few verses are going to talk about our relationship between God and all believers. It says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." It's important to be filled with the Spirit of God. Verse 19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of" who? God. God. You know, the primary relationship in our life that we need to be working on is our relationship with God. The most important relationship that you and I need to build, the most important relationship that you and I need to make sure that we're maintaining is our relationship with God. I mean, of course, it's important to maintain a relationship with your spouse and with your children and with your parents and with friends and so on. But the most important relationship in life that you need to work on and build is make sure you've got a good relationship with God. Make sure you have a good relationship with Him. And we see that in these verses. We see the importance of being filled with the Spirit of God. We see the importance of talking to God, singing and making melody in our heart unto the who? The Lord. These things only happen if we're working on and we're developing and we're only Spirit-filled. We're only spending this time with the Lord if we do it, you know, on purpose. All our relationships of life, we maybe talked about it in Sunday school a little bit, but they don't just happen on accident. They happen on purpose. Right? If I'm going to build my relationship with God, it's got to be on purpose. If I'm going to communicate with God, it's got to be on purpose that I take time to talk to Him. I take time to listen to Him. I take time to pray. I take time to read God's Word and meditate on God's Word and ask God to speak to me. And you and I need to build our relationship first with the Lord God, because that is the primary relationship of life. Nothing is more important than that. This vertical relationship, this relationship between you and your God, is the most important relationship in all of life. Because if this relationship right here is not right, then I guarantee you these relationships will not be right. Like, if we're not working on this relationship right here between you and God, then this relationship between a husband and wife wouldn't be good. This relationship has got to be built. You know, this relationship here between a teenager and God, that relationship has got to be built, right? It has got to become strong. It has got to become what God wants it to be. Or you know where else we'll see struggles in this relationship? A relationship with parents. A relationship with teenagers. He's got to build his relationship with God. And he's got to build his relationship with God. Or these horizontal relationships of life, they can struggle more than they ought to. We need to work first on building our relationship with God. Work on that vertical relationship so that we can also have better horizontal relationships, you know, with those people around us. Let's read on there in Ephesians 5 and look at verse number 22. Ephesians 5. We see our relationship with God is talked about. And then it comes to another relationship. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So what relationship do we have being described now? We have the husband and wife relationship. We have this relationship at home between a husband and a wife. And really all through the end of chapter 5, that relationship is described. Now listen, this relationship, we know this is at the bedrock of society. This is at the foundation of society. We see homes crumbling. We see marriages crumbling. And we see a society crumbling. That's why it's so important, listen, that we take time to build up our marriage and build up our home. Take time for your spouse. Take time for your husband. Take time for your wife. Don't be so busy, you know, building a career or making money or working jobs or working multiple jobs that you are not building that foundational relationship in life. Don't be so preoccupied with the children and taking care of them and meeting their needs that now you've fallen in love with the kids and you love them more than maybe you even love your spouse. Listen, that relationship between a husband and wife, that's the best thing you can do for your kids is to build that relationship. They will have greater security. They will have a greater sense of being loved and so on and security and many times a brighter future. When they know that relationship is what it ought to be. You're setting the pattern for them. You're setting the example for them as well. Listen, it's so vital that we build that relationship of a husband and a wife. We need to take time for it. We need to invest in it. It's worth an investment of time. It's worth an investment of money. It's worth an investment of communication. It's worth an investment of learning how to communicate better. It's worth an investment of getting over our pride sometimes to admit our wrong and say, I'm sorry when we've done wrong. It's worth that investment of admitting our wrong and not saying, I'm going to win some argument. Listen, I'd rather lose some argument and have a wonderful relationship than to just blow it all apart. You need to build your relationship as husbands and wives. It's vital. It's important. We go on to Ephesians chapter 6. Look at that. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's read the first four verses. Ephesians 6 verses 1 to 4. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Any fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So here in Ephesians 6, and you know, we understand when the Bible was written, there wasn't these chapter divisions and so on. But we learn about a relationship between, you know, a believer and God. We learn about a relationship between husbands and wives. And how we're to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. And wives submit to their husbands. And husbands, love your bride, love your wife the way that Christ loved the church and sacrificed for the church and gave Himself for the church. We're to do that. And then we see in chapter 6, the relationship between parents and children. Parents and children. Fathers, be careful how you bring up your children. Fathers, make sure you don't provoke them to wrath. Make sure you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Make sure that you, very tenderly, like a shepherd, like Christ, make sure you bring them up firmly but tenderly. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Teach them and train them and set the example for them. Don't lead them through your life or through your example or through your words or through your spirit to a point where they become angry or they in children's minds, many cases their best example of God the Father is their own father. And that ought to scare us with that thought. That sometimes as children are growing up, their picture in their mind, and sometimes what they may think or associate of God the Father, a Father, is you, is me. And we need to work on being the right kind of Father. Being a Father, the kind of fathers and dads that God would want us to be. There's a relationship between parents and children that's talked about, and parents obviously have a great responsibility, and fathers and mothers have a great responsibility. We train our children. We're to lead our children. We're to set an example for our children. Children are responsible to obey their parents. Children are responsible to submit to their parents. Children are responsible to honor their father and their mother. That's a responsibility that we have, a duty that we have to honor them. To honor them. We see the importance of the relationship between parents and children. And again, that's a relationship that needs to be built. One of the greatest troubles in North America, and you see it even more so maybe in bigger cities and so on, but it's when there's missing fathers, absentee fathers. That never has helped children. Children need their mom and their dad. There's too many people across America, even in Canada, that have maybe had to grow up without a dad. Maybe because dad decided, well, I don't love mom anymore. That's a dumb decision. I don't love mom anymore. Or maybe in some cases people live the kind of lives where people never knew their father. And it's sad. And the lack of a father in people's lives is tragic. Parents have a great responsibility to how they're to raise up children. Children have responsibility to obey and to honor and to submit to their parents. And children and teenagers, and you're living in your home and you're under your mom and dad's roof and you're under their care, you have a responsibility to obey them. You have a responsibility to honor them. You are to learn to submit yourself unto them as unto the Lord. Just like husbands and wives are to submit themselves to one another in the fear of God, and wives are to submit to their husbands in the fear of God. Listen, you children, you're to submit to your parents in the fear of God. Submit to your parents as if you're submitting unto the Lord. Don't be saucy with them. Don't give them attitudes. Don't give them problems. Don't fight against them. Don't buck against them. But submit unto them. Obey them and honor them. We see the relationship between parents and children. Look on in chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and look down at verse number 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Here again, it's as unto the Lord, right? Servants and masters. It says, verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free, a bond servant or free servant. Verse 9, and ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatening. Forbearance is that really that exercise of practicing some patience and kindness and meekness with people. And not being just threatening. Knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. What's this relationship that's being described in verses 5 to 9? In our modern day, we could put it into this. It's the employee-employer relationship. It's the boss and the worker. It's those kind of relationships. With manager and employee, and employer and employee, those kind of work relationships. You know, life is made up of your relationships, isn't it? It's made up of the relationships in the home, and made up of the relationships in family, and life is made up of these relationships, even in a workplace. And God, even in the Scriptures, in different places, teaches us how we ought to get along, and how we ought to deal with an employer. Or how we ought to deal with a boss at work. Or how we ought to maybe treat those who are our employees or maybe work under us. This relationship is so important. Life is relationships. And then look again here at Ephesians 6 and a couple verses. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be my brethren, right? He speaks to the brethren, those of the church. Speaks to them as a whole. My brethren, those of the church, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then look down at verse 18. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. If you're saved here this morning, you're the saints of God. You're the children of God. We are the people of God. We're the saints. We're the brethren. We're God's people. The brethren make up the local church, the body of believers. And you and I, as brethren, as fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, this relationship is important as well. It's important that we work on maintaining and developing good relationships even in the local church. That we build those relationships and we edify one another and we encourage one another and that we not tear one another down. It's important that we pray one another. Because we understand that we carry burdens and we have hardships and we go through difficult times. And it's important that we're praying for one another. We're persevering for one another. We're supplicating for one another. We're interceding in prayer for one another. That's important. Because these are the relationships of life. The relationships of life. Life is relationships. Life is relationships. I want you to notice that this whole section of verses that we read begins back there in Ephesians 5 and verse 18 by telling us to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And then it concludes in Ephesians 6 and verse 18 by telling us to pray in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit tells us to pray and supplicate for others. You know, I certainly think that our relationships with others could be better if we learn to pray for them. if we learn to pray for them. Do you know another thing that is really true in life I found? It's hard to dislike people that you're praying for. It's hard to dislike people that you're praying for. If you're praying for people, that will increase your love for them. If you're having difficulty, again, we're looking at these relationships of life, right? But let's say there's a fellow believer or another Christian or another person that you just kind of have difficulty getting along with them, or they're not like you, or there's and you just have difficulty. Maybe pray for them. Pray for them. That could help you in your love for them and your relationship with them. You're having struggles with your children or with your parents. Have you been praying for them? You're having problems, a teenager, getting along with your mom or dad? Why don't you pray for them? You're having problems, parents, with your children? Pray for them. You're having problems getting along with your husband or getting along with your wife? Are you praying for them? Yeah, Lord, kill them. No, not that kind of a prayer. Not that kind of a prayer. Why don't you start sincerely and genuinely praying for them? Why don't you pray for God's good in their life? Pray for God to help you to be a blessing to them. Pray for God to help you to love that wife. Pray for God to help you to love and submit to that husband. Pray for God to work in your marriage and help your marriage. Hey, why not pray? Pray. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Pray over your relationships. Pray for your family. Pray for your children. Pray for your parents. Hey, pray for your employees. Pray for your boss at work. You're having trouble getting along with your boss at work. Why not pray for them? Pray for them. Well, they're difficult. They're hard to get along with. Okay, pray for them. And don't just pray a prayer of, you know, a hatred prayer, but pray sincerely for them and genuinely for them. Pray for them. Our relationships will no doubt be better if we would learn to pray. But what I want you to really notice is that right in this passage of Scripture that teaches us so many important truths about our life and teaches us about our relationships, it really begins and it ends with our God. It really begins and it concludes with our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Corinthians, it says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" I can guarantee you that a relationship will not be good when the yoke is unequal. When the yoke is unequal. Do you not understand what a yoke is? Colin, would you come here? And Eric, would you come here? Quickly. Colin and Eric. You know what a yoke is? If we've got two oxen here. Okay, these guys are our oxen. Come stand right here. And put your heads over a little bit like cows. Okay. If you've got two oxen that are going to work in the field and they're supposed to plow together, those two oxen they have to be yoked together. It can't be an unequal yoke, right? You could not have this, you know, this one great big old cow and this one little baby calf. That would be an unequal yoke, wouldn't it? It wouldn't work. You can't have, you know, one oxen decide I want to go this way and one oxen deciding I want to go this way. No, they have to be equally yoked together. And they have to be in harness together. That's why they put that wood across their neck and yoke them up together. Come here. You cannot be unequally yoked. You cannot be bullheaded, one trying to go one direction, one trying to go the other direction. One wants this and one wants that. One, you know, there even needs to be a similar development, if you will. Right? You couldn't have one big full-grown ox and one baby ox. Right? There needs to be some development spiritually where they're both, well, not spiritually, but physically in that realm. And can I tell you, listen, you guys can sit down, thank you. You know what? The same thing is going to be true in life. The same thing is going to be true in your relationships. There has to be an equal yoke, and there has to be people yoked up going the same direction. People of the same mind, people of the same heart.
You know, the Bible there talks about not having fellowship righteous with unrighteous, and what communion of light with darkness. Listen, there's an unequal yoke when it's saved and unsaved. Saved and unsaved. And some of you know, sadly, and you would share with us with sadness, maybe the regrets of maybe being in a situation where you were a saved person and you married an unsaved person. And you know how hard that has been, or how difficult that has been because of that unequal yoke. And you would sit and you would say, "Pastor, sit down. Let me tell the young people to make sure. Let me tell the single people to make sure that they marry a saved person. Because we cannot have an unequal yoke." So important, isn't it? It's important. When there's saved and unsaved, it makes it so much more difficult in a relationship. When there's righteous and unrighteous, it makes it so much more difficult. When there's spiritual and carnal, it becomes so much more difficult because of that unequal yoke. You have times where people are just, they're not pulling together in the same direction, or they're not pulling together with the same effort. Listen, Eric, come here. We cannot be here. And well, no, that won't. Ashley, come here for a second. And Eric, you come here. We couldn't be here as a husband and wife. And okay, just it's pretend, okay? We couldn't be here as a husband and wife. And one person wants to go that direction, and one person wants to go that direction. That wouldn't work very good, does it? Okay, come back here. You can't have a husband and wife where, you know, one person wants this way and one person wants this way, and there's no unity, there's no harmony. They have to go the same direction. Listen, husbands and wives, we need to get it together, because this life is to be lived as one. And I understand we're a different person, we're unique personalities, but to become one in marriage, to become one. And there has to be a time where we discuss things and we settle things, we figure things out, and then we choose, okay, he's the spiritual leader of my home, I'm going to submit to him, and we are going to go the same direction. We're going to walk that way together. Walk together. Stay together. Stay right beside him. And we're going to go together, and we're going to go in unity, and we're going to go in harmony in this marriage. You guys can sit down. Do you understand that? You understand how important it is in our relationships of life that, listen, there not be an unequal yoke. Listen, men or ladies or whatever the case may be, if you're the one that's lagging behind in that marriage, well, let's get with it. If you've got a wife that wants to be spiritual and wants to live for God and wants to do right, man, why don't you get on the ball? Why don't you get with it? You're in fact to be the spiritual leader of the home. And why don't you get serious about the things of God, and you read your Bible, and you be the one initiating things and leading the way. And you decide, you know what, I'm going to lead my children to follow after Christ. And I'm going to bring my wife to Bible study. And I'm going to take her hand some night before bed and say, "Can we pray together?" You might shock her to death, but you know what? She might afterwards kind of be glad. She might smile in the mirror when she goes in the bathroom and, "Hey, my husband just asked to pray with me. What a good man." Do you understand we need men and ladies to be in the yoke together? We need to be spiritual together and following after Christ together. We need to be working on our relationship with the Lord and building that relationship with Him. A relationship will not be right and not be good unless both individuals in the relationship are saved and indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. It's so important that you have the Spirit of God in your life, that you be saved. If you're here and you're not saved and you've got a spouse that's saved, listen, you're dropping the ball. You need to make sure that you are saved first. Make sure that you are saved and you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Because it may be that you, sir, or you, ma'am, are the one that's holding things back in that relationship. You're the one who's causing a bit of problems in that relationship because you're not saved and you're not following after God. And so there's an unequal yoke. A relationship will not be good when one person is spiritually minded and the other is carnally minded. When one is saved and yielding and submitting to the Holy Spirit in their life, striving to live for Christ, and the other person is maybe saved, but they're not really following after the Lord.
Boy, that makes it hard. That makes it so hard. When some want to follow after God's word and some just kind of want to live after their flesh, listen, it makes it difficult, it makes it hard because it's an unequal yoke. When there's different desires and different goals and different levels of spiritual maturity, and there's, it's fine for there to be different levels sometimes, but there at least needs to be growth. There needs to be people that are wanting to grow and wanting to go the same direction in life. Each relationship will only have the harmony that it ought to have, perfect harmony, when both individuals are in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. In Ephesians 5 and verse 18 and Ephesians 6 and verse 18, they teach us about the importance of the Holy Spirit. Listen, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. The strength of a spiritual Christian is proved in his relationships. If a person is in tune with God, then it will help them to have harmony in their relationships of life. What's necessary? That the Spirit of God is tuning up your heart and tuning up your life so that you can be in tune with someone else? Listen, we've got these instruments here. And these instruments, they need to be tuned to the piano. Always, whenever you bring instruments into an orchestra or bring instruments into a situation or into a new setting, they really do need to be in tune with the piano. Because the piano is hard to tune, right? But they all need to be tuned with the piano. You match up with the piano. And these ones get little adjustments made. You can take the violin and you can take those little, what do you call them? Pins, and you can make little adjustments to the violin and try to get it in tune with the piano. Listen, in our relationships of life, we need to get in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. We need husbands in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. We need wives in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. We need moms and dads in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. We need children and teenagers who will get in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. We need employees and employers who will get in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. We need a pastor and Christians and fellow believers and brethren to get in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. Because you know what? If I'm in tune with the Holy Spirit, and she's in tune with the Holy Spirit, and she's in tune with the Holy Spirit, and she's in tune with the Holy Spirit, and he's in tune with the Holy Spirit, and he's in tune with the Holy Spirit, you know what's going to happen? We'll get along like we're supposed to. We'll have the unity that we're supposed to. We'll have the harmony that we're supposed to. But we all need to get in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. That's the standard. That's what we need for our relationships to be what they ought. Each individual must strive to have a right relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. If both husband and wife are in tune with the Holy Spirit of God, then you'll have harmony. If parents and teenagers are both in tune with the Holy Spirit, then your relationship, instead of being one of fighting, can be one of harmony. If fellow Christians and fellow church members are both in tune with the Holy Spirit, then your relationships can be one of harmony. Harmony. Every individual, every Christian, every husband, every wife, every parent, every teenager, every child, every employer, every employee, every fellow Christian needs to strive to make sure that my spirit, make sure that your spirit is in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. Make sure it's right with God. Make sure your life is in tune with God's Word. Make sure that you're yielding to the Holy Spirit and that you're in tune with God's will for your life. If each individual will just make sure that they're in tune with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, then we can have the harmony and relationships that God desires. All relationship failures are really spiritual failures. All relationship failures are really spiritual failures. Because if we would be right spiritually and we would be in tune with the Holy Spirit, then we'll be in tune with one another. When we're not in tune with Him, when we're not in tune with God, when we're not in tune with God's Spirit, we'll struggle to be in tune in this relationship. You'll struggle to be in tune with your husband or your wife. You'll struggle to be in tune with your parents. You'll struggle to be in tune with other believers. You'll struggle to be in tune with your boss at work. We need all of us to seek to be in tune with the Holy Spirit of God. Brother and Mrs. Aber, will you come here for a second? And Brother Aber, why don't you stand out by the chairs, and Mrs. Aber, you go stand over in those somewhere. Maybe come a bit closer, okay? Just for the sake of this illustration, I'll represent God for a second here, okay? And that's a poor example, right? But if you let me represent God, and here's a husband and here's a wife. We need to work on our relationships. But what do all relationships boil back down to at the start, at the base, at the first? Your relationship with God. We need to work on our relationship with God. We need to build our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God so that when we're at home, or we're with our parents, or we're in our workplace, we then are able to submit and follow and get along and get in unity about some things and get in harmony about some things. If we are determined to just, you know, all be separate or all be individual or all go our own way or all have our own mind or we're all going to be stubborn and we're all this and that, fine. Live with strife and contention. Live not getting along. Live with disagreements and disharmony. But that's not what God wants. Life is about your relationships. It matters more that you work on that relationships than that you work and work and work and make lots of money and have a nice house. No, work on your relationships. Build those relationships and start with your relationship with God. You'll not build a good relationship without the Holy Spirit of God. People may say, we're not compatible. We're not compatible any longer. That's not the problem. The problem is you're not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Not that you're not compatible. Here's what needs to happen. If each person in the relationship would get a little bit closer to God, slowly here, if we'd get a little bit closer to God, you know what happens? We get a little bit closer to each other, don't we? If we're getting a little bit closer to God, we're getting a little bit closer to each other. If they come a little bit closer to God, you know what? They're getting a little bit closer to each other, too. Isn't that great? Hey, you know what you need to work on? Getting close to God. Work on that relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Work on your relationship with Him. Because if you'll get closer to God, if you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, it helps all these other relationships. And that's why the Bible starts with talking about your relationship with Him. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Because as you do that, that is what will help you to submit yourselves to one another in the fear of the Lord. That's what will help you to submit yourself even to that boss at work. Submitting to them, not as unto men, but as unto the Lord in the fear of the Lord. They may not be all the boss that they ought to be, but I'm going to submit to them because God teaches me to, because I love God. And I'm going to let my life be a good testament. Listen, we're to submit ourselves. We need to work on our relationship with God, don't we? Work on our relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Build that relationship. And work on building these other relationships of life. But it starts with your relationship with God. Ask God to help you. Don't go home complaining about or praying about, well, that other person, or my boss, or my husband, or my wife, or my kids. How about you work on you? Work on you and your relationship with God.